Hi, this is Jason Bonham, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
Hey everyone, this is Scott Medina for Sonic Perspectives. We've got a great chance to talk with Jason Bonham today. Jason, are you there?
I am here, yes. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing great. So we're going to catch up a little bit with what you're doing now and what you've done in the past. But as I understand it, you're touring now as Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening and mostly playing with Foreigner and Whitesnake.
Yeah, I did a tour last year with my old band Foreigner and Cheap Trick as an opening, you know, act, as a summer act. I never imagined taking my little fun, I call it my this is what I do when I'm not working project, out on a road in this kind of way, because normally when I play the show, which is normally 20 to 30 shows a year, it's done in a theatre environment with movie, with the video screens and a lot of storytelling, home movies. So it's kind of a very feel-good kind of just what it was like show, as well as the music of the Led Zeppelin. So when I was asked to do it, I was tentative. But last year went so well. They proved me wrong. I said no one's going to be there at 7 o'clock to go and see, you know, the opening act. It was full every night. Obviously, the love for Led Zeppelin music, it is still as much as, if not more than it's ever been. I'm very fortunate that the guys I play with, we give it 250%, and I'm very critical of how it's done. It's probably of any band I've ever been in, because I'm representing the family. So when we did it that way, I was to get asked again to come out for another summer run, and this time with Whitesnake. I was, you know, when they joked about it last year, said, "Do you want to do it again next year?"
Yeah.
I never thought it would happen. So it's a great way to you know, get out there and kind of say, if you like what we do, come back and see us, like, later on in the year when we do our full, you know, winter show. Because you can only do so much in 50 minutes.
Exactly.
But it's for people who don't know and haven't seen me play and haven't seen the band. It definitely seems to work. People are shocked and they're like, oh, my, I didn't, you know. Because on paper it's one thing, but when you see the show, it's another. So, and definitely now with this new Japanese guitar player, Jimmy Sakurai, he has devoted his entire life to Jimmy Page. So it's weird, even just watch him walk normally and just his actions is, so he, you know, he can play anything from different nights live. He remembers every show.
Just like you do.
Huge. Yeah, we'll put it this way. Me and him have had a few debates recently, and I think it's about 4-2 to him in arguments. He's been proving me wrong, so
that's impressive.
You know, well, I play. No, I put out the ace. Yeah, but you haven't played with them, have you?
And there you have it.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there's my get out of, like, no. Well, I play with them, so this is the way we did it. I want the version that I played on.
So, exactly.
It is great to have somebody else up there with the knowledge. So everyone in the band has to kind of the rule is, if you've got to know every song, is at any point I could go, let's do so and so, and we just do. We will go into it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the crowd must be loving it. And, you know, as great as the other bands are you're on the bill with, it's almost counterintuitive to have Led Zeppelin material on first.
Well, it reminds me of, like, the old days of what it must have been like when they went on the road and they were the opening act for, I think there was a few places in Dallas was, actually, I mean, the greatest thing is it was Denver. Everyone believes it was the Whiskey that was the first ever American show, but I think it was actually Denver.
That's what I've heard, that it was Denver, yes.
Denver was the first ever show in the US for Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And what I'm looking forward to is the fact that it's going to be, we're going to be in the, I think, the Pepsi Arena. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah, you are, right.
Yeah, which is that's going to be in darkness. So we will, great. So I'm thinking while I'm talking here. So there we have it. Especially in that town,
mm-hmm.
we will be pulling out like the no quarters. Yes. And that time of the day when the oregano is in the air and hitting those big, you know, the big jam songs. I just think that's some of the greatest stuff that, you know, when they did that.
Yeah.
It was, you know, that was just wonderful.
Yeah.
It sent you in a journey. You know, it was a musical journey. They didn't stick to a script. You know, it was cool. You didn't have to have a sing-along to it. There was music and melody, but you know, as you said, I always used to say there wasn't really any real Led Zeppelin choruses when you hardly ever, compared to their song titles, to what was actually in the songs. It was very different to, you know, other people.
So you're currently also in two supergroups, Black Country Communion with Glenn Hughes, Joe Bonamassa, and Derek Sherinian, and then The Circle with Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony, and Vic Johnson. And both those groups are like, they're continuing that tradition, just hard-hitting classic rock. What kind of audience are you finding out there these days for that kind of music?
The great thing now, when I do, you know, my shows, I can see the Black Country T-shirts, the Circle T-shirts out there. I've been getting a lot of the Redheads now, which we call the Sammy fans, coming to see me play since I started playing with Sammy, which is just great. I mean, we've actually just finished an original album, a new album for the Circle, all new music that I helped collaborate on with Sammy on a couple of things. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's very like a concept kind of album and to be listened to in a specific order, which kind of tells the story. So he's been, you know, really inspired as of late, and really, you know, I think it's going to be some of his best stuff. You know, it's definitely diverse. You know, as I said, when you listen to it in the order, it's going to be an incredible. You know, what he wanted to do was do something very different than he's ever done, which is send you on a journey, like the old days when you put on an album, you listen to it from start to finish.
Yeah, beautiful.
Instead of just a song, you know, where the placements are for each one is vital for it to make sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got that, you know, finished. Now, actually, on Father's Day, I was on tour and I went into the studio because he sent me a new song that he wanted to add to the album. I went in on Father's Day and recorded drums in upstate New York. But it was great because I found a great new studio, which I'd love to go back to.
Oh, nice find.
Which was great. It was one of my, it was fun to go do. So I had a day off, did that. And as I said, yeah, we literally, I got the mix back from him yesterday. So, to be part of that band and to play live with Sammy and Michael, the most positive, and Vic, the most positive people and fun, it's a whole different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every band I play in is so different. With them, it is what you see. It's a party. It's Sammy is so up and so positive. And Mikey is such a wonderful guy.
Mm.
And smiling, and it's all like, yeah, it's fun. You know, it's that fun. Life's too short to be miserable.
That's the way rock and roll should be.
Yeah. I mean, there is definitely, So I mean, because I'm English, so I can be very half empty. Uh-huh. Sammy's always half full.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? There's yeah. there's never one of those moments where he's, you know, if he'll come up to me and go, don't be English around me. You know, this is fun. So nice. you have got nothing to be worried about.
Yeah. So when you're sitting down and playing with Circle or Black Country Communion, you know, in that drummer seat, you're playing as Jason Bonham. But when you go out as the Led Zeppelin Evening, are you still playing as Jason Bonham, or are you more focused on matching your father's playing as closely as possible?
Well, I'm kind of, I kind of, yeah, there's the, you know, the certain fields that have to be there, especially when you do, I do like a live broadcast sometimes, and you'll notice people go, hey, where's the so-and-so? Why didn't you do that? So there's certain fills that you do, but what I try to do is I've listened to so many of the live bootlegs. I sometimes think it is, it's me being me, but somebody will go, oh, I see you did the fill from 74 or 75, or I'm like, did I?
Yeah.
So it's kind of just...
It's worked its way in there.
In the memory bank. So I think... People said to me, when you did Celebration Day, I love what you did at the ending of Kashmir. That was really like you became yourself. And I went, actually, no, if you listen to the Nedworth version, 79, that's kind of where I got that from.
Yeah.
That's what I was going for. So it's, I kind of, there's a lot of the different stuff. I try and put the fills in, like I will put some fills that probably he did on the Presence album in Led Zeppelin 2.
Ah.
So it's what he would, yeah, it's things that he hasn't done yet. And that's the great thing about playing the music now. I say I can get to be John Bonham from this period, but put it back into an earlier song,
right.
which he didn't do yet.
Right.
So that's the fun part, you know, they're all, I always say, there's a box of tricks. There isn't that many tricks in there, but the ones I pull out and I can put in different songs work. You know, the old triplets and can never be, you know, you never get tired of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, yes, but it's remembering, though, what Dad's great thing was feel and the groove, and that's the pocket. I thought a deep pocket was somebody that had lots of money for years.
Right.
Until drummers were talking about it, and I was like, oh, that's what they mean by pocket.
Yeah, you saw what it really is there, yeah. So, like, in that, in that 2007 concert at the O2, the Celebration Day one, so when the band told you that they're going to put on the set list the song For Your Life, a song that had never been played live before, what was going through your head at that time?
Oh, well, for me, that was one of my ideas as well.
Oh, right on.
There's this debate. Jimmy says he came up with the idea of the opening. I think, he could have done Brahm, I was sure. They said, what should we open with? And I went, you've got to open with the first track of Led Zeppelin 1, mm-hmm. Good Times, Bad Times. So, but then I think it was something that Robert had said about For Your Life. And at that point, I was like, great, because there's no, you know, all we can do is take from, there was no live reference for me. Mm-hmm. So it was, I purely played it. In a way, it's like the album, but then added my own little things in there with some stops and pauses, and I really enjoyed playing that song live.
Yeah, that by that point in the show, you guys were just hitting on all cylinders, and it was so delightful to get that surprise, you know, of a
track. Well, what we did is there's a little secret in what we did. It was every day we did the first three songs, no matter what else we worked on, every day we would do the first three songs. So every day we would play, you know, Good Times, Bad Times, Ramble On and Black Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would choose like one or two songs to work on and then call it, because it was never long days.
Mm-hmm.
So, but every day we would do that because it was always the, if we can get through the first three, just relaxed.
Yes.
Then the rest will, it will be an enjoyable rest of the evening. Mm-hmm. It's like getting past the first turn without a scrape.
Yeah.
You know, if you can make the first turn in a race and you're out, you're free and clear of the carnage behind you, you can, you know, enjoy. Otherwise, if there's carnage, it takes a while to get back into it. I know that from them. If I'm one of those, if I screw up on the first song, mm-hmm. it takes me a while to get over myself of you know. So we were very fortunate. We had a great first three songs, and then it was really every one of us. We were all really relaxed.
Yeah, you now, were.
For that
were.
Event, I mean, it could have been, you know, the world was watching and waiting for it to go, like, boom, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to, if I think of it as, if it never happens again, it was nice to end it on such a high.
Absolutely. And one of the remarkable things about that show is that the band really seemed to want to be celebrating you most of all. You know, Jimmy even went as far as saying, Jason was the hero. For me, that gig was about him. And Robert, from the stage, you know, said that the show was about the opportunity to bring you there. So are there any words you can put on that honor and respect that they bestowed on you?
No, but it was very special for me. To if anything, they relaunched my faith in the music industry. They opened people's eyes to me, and without them, I wouldn't have a career. They've always looked out for me from day one, from mm-hmm. from Outrider in '88, from working with Jimmy, from Robert Plant picking me up from school and helping him work on his solo albums. They've encouraged me in music from at the beginning of my life, right through. So I everything really to them. I mean, this whole, my Led Zeppelin evening is not only an honor to, you know, tribute to my father, it's a tribute to them, the music. That when I was younger and so close to it, it was, I probably didn't get it as much as I did as I got older, and it was too late, you know.
Right.
It was, when I remember the first time I played with them, it was kind of the attitude of, well, you know, I'm expecting to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't until later on in life that I realized, well, they could have anybody they wanted. They don't need to have me on drums just because I'm a Bonham, you know. So you gotta get to deliver the goods.
Yeah.
So I remember we got together, you know, in the June 10th, 2007, and did had a play and had a jam and had a chat, and it was after that that they said, right, okay, let's do it. He's up to it.
Yes, definitely.
So, to get Jimmy, we did Kashmir, and Jimmy turned around to Robert and said, well, that's as good as it's ever sounded.
Wow.
You know, and yeah. It was, you know, I was, you know, it was, yeah, very special for me.
Were there any similarities being on stage with them in 2007 to when you played with them in 1988 for Atlantic's 40th birthday, or was it just a totally different thing?
A totally different thing. I think I was way more, the Atlantic, I was so nervous. I was so young, I was 22 mm-hmm. at the Atlantic 40th. I was a bit of a, if anything, I was a child. For this, I know, I was like, I was almost 40. I was only 41, wasn't I? So it was a whole different world to be in. And I remember having a moment in one of the songs where I looked at John Paul Jones, and it was like a whole I was visioning the song Remains the Same when my dad, the camera shot, they're looking at each other and my dad's going, no, no, not yet. Now, and they go, and John Steve, so I was having all these moments of, it's like Song Remains the Same. I'm looking at these guys and they look back at me, and it was, you just say, a few people said it was centered around the drum kit. We were all, because the way we rehearsed was all just, they all just faced me. And,
yeah.
And that, so a lot of the show, sometimes you see, they're stood around me and they're all looking at me. So it's, it was fun. And you could tell from the smiles on their faces, they had a great time.
Yeah.
I think that's why everybody thought it was going to continue on. But
Right. Right. Well, actually, before even Outrider, I first saw you play live in 86 with one of your early bands, Virginia Woolf. You guys opened up, you opened up for The Firm, and I saw you in Philly back then. And even at that time, the band was billed as Virginia Woolf featuring Jason Bonham. And you're playing to, you know, 15,000 people, and they even gave you a drum solo section for the opening set. And
yeah.
You're probably like barely even 20 years old.
I look back, I have some great bootlegs. I have great bootlegs because it all led to something, you know. From Air Race, my first band, we went on tour with Queen, then produced, Roger Taylor produced Virginia Woolf, and that's how I got in Virginia Woolf. Mm-hmm. Virginia Woolf tours with The Firm. That's how I ended up being with Jimmy on Outrider. Mm-hmm. Being the London 40th, people watching there. I got signed for Bonham. It all, you know, my entire first, that whole 80s period for me, from 82, all the way up to 91, was kind of it, just a roller coaster. Went from one to the next.
Yeah,
you know, it was it was ups and downs, and just different bands and learning, and each time, and I just couldn't believe my luck. You know, it was everything seemed to be going great, and then we took way too long over our second album and Bonham, and before we knew it, there was bands like Nirvana and had come out, and it was like. It was a kind of a whole change. I must say it's pretty healthy again now. Rock and roll. I got to be friendly with Dave Grohl and went to see Foo Fighters recently. And it was very sweet of him. He mentioned to the crowd, he said, there's a guy here tonight that I went to see 30 years ago play because I was about 18 years old. He said, and I waited for 3 hours to meet this guy. And I met him after the show, and he says it was one of the greatest moments of my life. And he stood over here watching me for the first time. And I was like, I don't remember. Because at the time, obviously, Nirvana hadn't broke at that point. So he would just be a guy, because he was so into my dad that he wanted to come and see the son. So very sweet of him that he brought it up, and he had the whole audience, and 18,000 people sing to me, called times like these, and it was very it's cool.
Oh, fantastic!
Part of my phone is going off.
Yeah. So for everyone listening now, go catch the tour this summer with Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening and Whitesnake and Foreigner. And then sounds like after that's done, you alluded to, you're going to do some solo shows with the Led Zeppelin material later this fall or winter?
Yeah, and also with Sammy. Sammy's planning to do some dates to promote his new product. Which,
wonderful.
I don't know if it's going to be out this year or next year. But Sam will be on touring, so check jasonbonham.net and so the Red Rocker, sammyhager.com. Black Country Communion, who knows? I'll be in one of those bands near you soon.
Yeah.
And I will stress to this, 7 o'clock. We go on at 7. I know it's early.
Don't get there late.
You won't be disappointed if you get there early, and we'll definitely have some fun.
Sweet. Jason, thanks so much for talking with us. And we want to leave everyone with a track from you. Do you want to leave something from Black Country Communion, like Collide, or something different?
Oh, for me? Yeah, Collide. I do love that track. And that was written and inspired in the world of Black Dog.
Yes. Yeah, we can definitely feel that. So have a great time out there. I think you guys are playing Jones Beach tonight. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Well, have a blast with them. And thanks for keeping the tradition and this music going, because you're doing it with style.
Thank you very much. I'm very honored. And it's a great music to play and represent the family. So thank you for the support. And I will see you guys soon.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone, to Sonic Perspectives. This is Scott Medina. And we're going to leave you with a track from one of Jason's supergroups that he's in. This is Black Country Communion from their latest CD, which was just released at the end of last year. This track called Collide.